This morning I bring a message which is under a broad heading. The broad heading for the message is Something Happened. Something Happened. And the title for this specific message is Forgiven Indeed, with an exclamation mark or point thereafter. Forgiven Indeed. How many in this place are forgiven? How many in this place know that they are forgiven? Friends, the answer to these questions go a long way in determining the trajectory, if you like, or just how your walk with the Lord runs or goes. Understanding the true nature of forgiveness, understanding what it is and how it comes to be, how it's in place, the effect that it has upon your life, the influence that it has in your life, goes a long way in determining just how you walk here on earth. Choices made, steps taken, and things of that nature. Very quickly, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis in chapter 3. I'm going to lay a quick background here at the beginning of sorts. Now, this is an event we all know well, have read diversely, and so I'm not gonna do my best not to belabor the point. We're gonna jump to Genesis chapter 3, and therein we see an event that occurred in difficult, labeled or termed in different ways. Some say a tragic fall of man. Different captions, so to speak. And so it's in Genesis in chapter 3 that we find the serpent deceiving Eve as it concerns the instruction or commandment which the Lord gave following his creation of man. You can see that in Genesis in chapter 2. But like I said, I'm not going to go into all the details at this point. So the serpent came to Eve and asked her a question. Simple question. I want us to consider that this morning. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And then she responded, and then some. Because she added that, he said, do not touch it as well. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. Now, friends, in looking at this passage, we're going to see how that by a series of insinuations, some expressed, some not so direct, the serpent went about this activity with guile. Let's look on in there. Verse 4. You will not surely die. The serpent went about to attack the very essence of the character of God by touching on, I'll highlight just three portions or three aspects this morning. Number one, the truthfulness of God. God said, you partake of the tree, you will die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. Indicating that God was what? A liar. Numbers in chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers in chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should what? Lie. His character does not allow for it. His nature is truth. Truthfulness. And the serpent, the enemy, touched on that. He said, you shall not surely die. He implied that God was a liar. Verse 5, serpent went on to state, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. He implied thereby that some way, somehow, God was not just. He attacked God's justice. How? By stating that your eyes will be open, he implied that in some way, shape, or form, or some manner, they were what? Blind. That in creating them, some way, somehow, they weren't what? They weren't perfect. That they were lacking something. That they were lacking much. That they were shortchanged. That they were blind, whether it be in heart, whether it be in mind, or whatever. He attacked the justice of God. And third, he followed it up with something else. Notice he told them, you're incomplete. He created you, but you're incomplete. You're lacking. Your eyes will be, he knows that the day you partake of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing what? Good and evil. Thirdly, implied that God was not a God of love. Was not a God of love. How? He told them, oh, of all the creation, you have dominion. You have rule. You have reign. But in somehow selling them short, the serpent indicated and stated that, oh, he doesn't want you, God doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to aspire to be higher. He doesn't have the best for you. He doesn't love you so much as postured, as shown, as claimed. Why? Because there's a deficit. You have a shortage some way, somehow. You can't aspire. Is this beginning to ring a bell based on the nature of the evil one in himself? But you should aspire to be just like him. Partake, and you will be wise. You'll see. You know good from evil. So three things. One, the truthfulness of God, justice of God, and thirdly, the love of God. And friends, in a nutshell, verse 6 tells us that the woman saw that the fruit was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and was profitable to make one wise. And she partook of it and handed the fruit to her husband who was with her. And so, friends, we see the tragic event of man's fall. Just by that, sin entered into the world. And hear this, friends. Not only is it a case of disobedience that they disobeyed, but in believing, one, the lie, second, in believing the liar as concerns the true nature of God, the true character of God, in disobeying him, in this way, they also deeply dishonored God, the one who would come and fellowship, the one who would commune, the one who created them, the one who set everything up so great and then just put them in charge. They dishonored him. And I believe this was, must have broken his heart. Not because he's man, but because of that thing of relationship, which has always been on his heart, prime on the heart of the Father. Romans in chapter 5, verse 12. Says, wherefore as by one man, Romans in chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That was the gateway, friends. That was the entry point. All sinned. And if you read a couple of verses thereafter, it says, even those who didn't sin after that likeness with respect to breaking a specific command or all labeled under sin. And friends, in dying, they did die. Pronouncement made, from dust you are formed, dust to dust you will return. And then there was that separation, disconnect, separation from God. Broken relationship. Where once there was fellowship, where once there was communion, when once there was sharing, sin, guilt, shame, and everything else came into the picture. And guess what? Man did what? Man pulled away. And we see this shown when the Lord came into the garden and his voice rang out. They hid. And then began to give excuses. We're not going to go into that, friends, this morning. Now, so sin came into the world. Under the old covenant, the way to, so to speak, bridge the gap, the way to, so to speak, address the disconnection, the disconnect severally as it relates to this question of sin and sins, were by a series of sacrifices, series of offerings, highlighted in several portions in scripture. We're not going to go into those this morning, but I just want to reference for your recording purposes Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. Sin offerings, burnt offerings, trespass offerings, several offerings, all in a bid to address the question of sin and in some way, somehow, deal with that gap between man and God. The highlight of this is in Leviticus in chapter 16. Leviticus in chapter 16. Tag the Day of Atonement. And the high priest once a year went into the holiest of all to perform. And we're not going to read those portions, but we're going to see. Listen, our Bible is the book of Hebrews. We're going to see how, in a nutshell, I'm just going to paraphrase what all that meant for them under that covenant. Hebrews and chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10, from verse 1, it says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, could never by those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto, or the worshippers thereby perfect. It says, for them would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged or once purified would have had no more what? Consciousness of sins. It says, but in those sacrifices performed yearly days, an annual reminder, a constant reminder of what? Of sins. Verse 4 puts the nail on it. It says, for it is impossible It is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. That's just the synopsis for that. All that they performed for years on end in that regard, whether personally with their individual sin sacrifices or yearly on the Day of Atonement, all of that did nothing to take away sin. At best, friends, as under the old covenant, what occurred, what transpired was a covering in the Hebrew meant for them. Leviticus in chapter 16. Let's turn to 9, chapter 9, Hebrews in chapter 9. So the law is a shadow. All of that was a type of the good things to come. Let's look at it in chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of what? Things to come. How many know those good things are here already? Praise God. All right, but Christ come as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood. He what? He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify for the purifying of the flesh. So friends, at best, all of those washings, burnt sacrifices, oblations, all of that stuff, at best, only addressed the external, which laid in, you know, ceremonial washings and all of that, only addressed spiritual case, did not address the real issue, did not address the root cause. It goes on to say, purifying of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He offered himself without spot, without blemish to God. Sinless body, obedient will, devoted, surrendered life as he walked the plane of this earth. And he gave it up. At once, Jesus, the high priest, and in the same instance, at once, Jesus, that self-same perfect sacrifice. So what they had under the old covenant wasn't the remedy, wasn't the solution. Jesus came in blood. Look at the next verse. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of what? Death. There's one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that service of mediating is twofold, so to speak. But the key of it all is he mediated by death. And he didn't remain bound in the grave. He did what? He rose from the dead in victory, in triumph. By death. Look at it. For the redemption of the transgressions under the old covenant, for those who are called receive the promise of the inheritance. And so in this first portion, real quickly, we see how that sacrifice took care of that death and that resurrection. That sacrifice took care of what? Sins what? Past. Transgressions that were covered over under the old covenant. The effect of the forgiveness which arose, which came by based on that sacrifice, the influence of that forgiveness, the effect of it went back in time, acts in the present, and also takes care of the future. Why? Because it was what? Once and for all. Once and for all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Per time, let's just jump to Hebrews 10, verse 11. Now, private time, let's just go back and see this clearly. No man could occupy that position. No man could serve in that, in that capacity, bringing eternal redemption to us. Just before we see this portion, I say something to you about forgiveness specifically. We receive this forgiveness and come into this, the fullness of what Jesus provided by his sacrifice in this regard. When we exercise faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. When we exercise faith in that self-same perfect sacrifice. We see that in Romans 10, 8 through 10. Romans in chapter 10, 8 through 10, we don't need to go there. That's how you receive. That's how you come into this position, the position of being forgiven. And we'll see this. We'll see more of this. Hebrews in chapter 10, let's jump all the way down. Let's take it from verse 11. It says, and every high priest, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which cannot take, never take away sins. Next, verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Those who are set apart. Praise God forevermore. For by one sacrifice, he has what? Perfected forever. In this regard, as it concerns the subject, as it concerns forgiveness, the provision is so rich, so powerful. As I mentioned earlier, takes care of sins past, sins present, and sins what? Future. Why? Well, we had passed over in chapter 9, Hebrews 9, it says, he doesn't do this daily. He's not offering himself over and over and over again. That sacrifice was perfect, doesn't need repeating. And when you put faith in that, you come into a position of the forgiven. Do you know you are forgiven? Does this direct your walk in God and with him? Do you know that? I want to read Hebrews 10, 14 from the Passion. It says, by his one perfect sacrifice, he made us perfectly holy and complete for all time. You can go ahead and see that in the Amplified as well, for all time and eternity, it adds. Verse 16, so if our sins have been forgiven and forgotten, why would we ever need to offer another sacrifice for sin? Here it is, friends, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. It says, in whom we have, Ephesians 1, 7, in whom, that is in him, that is in Christ Jesus, we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, what? The forgiveness of sins according to what? The riches of his grace. We have redemption. The price has been paid. The ransom has been paid to set you free, to set me free. That price was paid in full. We have redemption through his blood. That word redemption is the word release, a release effected by payment from the original Greek, from the Greek. Release effected by payment. The payment in this case was the blood of Jesus. And guess what the result is based on that payment, which you take to yourself, which you appropriate, which becomes your reality when you express faith in Jesus and in the finished work of the cross. Guess what flows with that? As part of the many blessings with which you've been richly blessed, bestowed on by God Himself, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Thank you, Jesus. When we hear that saying or that expression, oh, forgiven of sins past, present, and future, I want to share this morning, friends. We really never ought to have that. Sometimes our ears perk up and something rises up and you say, oh, what does that mean? We never have to have that thought whereby we think in our hearts and think in our mind, oh, okay, I'm forgiven, so that means that I can go ahead and sin all that I want. I can go ahead and live my life just any way I want, just anyhow I want it. It doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Because the proper understanding of grace, have you met grace, is the question I would ask. Have you met grace? Do you know grace as a person, as a living reality? Are you growing in grace? Do you understand it? Because the proper understanding of grace and the true nature of forgiveness means that your walk, means that your life, means that your conduct, means that your conversation, lifestyle, I'm using different words, synonyms in this regard, still need to reflect the image, the life of Him who paid that price for you. Some talk about a license. No, a proper underscore of grace, knowledge of grace, understanding. In the place of intimacy, lets you know Romans 6, 1 rings true. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What does it say? Shall we continue in sin that what? Grace may abound? It says what? Certainly not. It says, how shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? Friends, I want to encourage you, go back home, take the whole chapter. Verse 14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but what? Under grace. Verse 18, verse 22. In fact, that whole passage lets you know that there's a release from the hold of sin in your life based on the fact that Jesus paid the price and you're now in Him and He is in you. Praise God. John said, 1 John 2:1. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Just going to reference this real quick. I'll go into 1 John 2:1. I write these things unto you that no one sins, but that if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation, who is the atoning sacrifice, who is the appeasement for our sins, and not our sins only, but also the sins of what? The whole world. I'll delve more into that subsequently. But why is it important, friends, to know that you have been forgiven? Why is it key to realize this, recognize this in your life and in your walk? Why is it important? Forgiven indeed. So what? Forgiven indeed. What now? I want to encourage us this morning in this way, in this manner, on three quick points. Number one, it's important for us to see and understand what transpired on the cross in relation to you as it concerns forgiveness, so that in your heart and in your life, you can walk just as Jesus did. Number one, in forgiving others, releasing others. Number one, I'm forgiven, and so I forgive. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 32. It says, You be kind. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has what? Has forgiven you. It's imperative, friends. It does you no good, does me no good to harbor. I guess I can use the word offense. In your heart, as it concerns anyone. Amen? Yes. Forgive. Peter, one time, I think it was Matthew 18, 21, 22, asked the Lord, thinking, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times? And he said that thinking that he had called a lot. And thinking that should be enough. That suffices, right? Seven times, and the Lord told him, says, no, not so. Forgive that brother 70 times what? Seven. Just to show the heart of the Father in this regard, the heart of Jesus as it concerns forgiveness. And we don't have time to go into John 8 and see an expression of forgiveness between Jesus and the woman who was caught in adultery in the very act. You can read that passage, friends. It's so powerful. Where are those your accusers? No one has stoned you? Has anyone condemned you? No, not one. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Here's it, friends. I go through that passage over and over. I went through that passage, and I keep going over that passage over and over. Not once did I see that woman ask for mercy or beg forgiveness from Jesus. You want to go into the book? Your word, your Bible, and take a look. Forgive others. I want to say, I need to say, at this juncture, and permit me, maybe it's even in this body, for example, I'm not saying it exists, hear me clearly, I'm not saying it exists, but perhaps, if there's someone here who has hurt you, who has said something wrong, who made a mistake and something hurt you, there's offense. I see something clear in the Bible, and I want to share that with us this morning. Matthew in chapter 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. I want to encourage us because I'm saying all of this, friends, because it's pertinent, it's germane, it's important not to harbor hurt and offense in your heart. Because it hinders you in your relationship with God. It hinders you in the call of God upon your life. It hinders you from experiencing the fullness of the blessedness that God has given to you and blessed you with in your life in relationship with Him, in your life here on earth. You need to forgive. Jesus said, call that brother, have a talk. If that brother listens, or sister, brother listens, you've gained a brother. It's awesome. It's great. There's great unity in his body, and unity has to exist, friends, for the work we're called to do in this area, for the move of God, for this time, in this place, in this locality, and beyond. It's important for us to have unity, not just general, but in every way, shape, or form. And we'll talk about that as one body in Christ Jesus. Amen. Forgive. Let go. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's important. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just want to add in that regard, I'm not talking about, because sometimes, I'm not talking about general sensibilities. I'm not talking about things, you know, trifle things, you know, hurts and pains. I remember, as a teenager in the UK, if you looked at someone just by walking on the street, looking at someone, what are you looking at? I'm not talking about those kind of sensibilities where you're touchy and any little thing gets you on your fit. No, I'm not talking about things of that nature. Or you're somewhere sitting with someone right here or at the coffee place or whatnot. Or in the library reading or something. You turn to the next man, is that you breathing? It's not you breathing. You're like, you're disturbing me. I'm not talking about being sensitive and not, I'm not talking about sensibilities in that regard, but genuine cases, issues. Don't let that eat away in your heart. Forgive. Second, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Mistakes might have happened in the past. Errors of judgment. Missteps. And most times we reflect on, oh, I can forgive others, but what about yourself? It needs to be released in that regard as well. Why? The proper understanding of the fact that God has forgiven you, you can forgive yourself. Maybe it's brought pain, maybe it's brought heartache, whatever it is. You can forgive yourself. You're allowed to. Maybe it's not walking in love. Maybe it's whatever it was. 1 John in chapter 3, verse 20. In relation to love, that passage comes forth. In relation to love and walking in love. It says, for if our heart condemns us, it says, God is what? Greater than your heart. And he knows all things. And guess what, friends? Based on relationship and oneness with God, we also know that he knows all things and he does not condemn you. He does not. I had to forgive myself. Time up, maybe in time past, I walked in anger. I walked in rage towards my father for a number of years because of something he did as far as having been in the United Kingdom and having the possibility of taking my GCSEs, further exams, and ostensibly on trials for a career in soccer and all of that stuff. And he said, okay, end of the diplomatic move. All right, let's go back to our home country. Home country, friends, is Nigeria. That's what I'm saying. I got it good here. The coach indicated, oh, you can stay. We'll give you a scholarship. The church we're involved in, oh, you can stay. We'll take care of him. You know, you guys can go, but we'll take care of him. He'll be good and everything. And shipped all of us back home. And I didn't live with them for a while. I lived elsewhere. In my heart, there was anger. There was rage. I wouldn't speak with them. I wouldn't speak to them. The relationship was just for a long time. Couple of years, and then I met the Lord Jesus. I was 2 years down the line. I met the Lord Jesus, and I got into the Word, and I saw forgiveness for what it truly is. And at that point, I knew I had no option but to let it go. How? I was allowed to forgive myself. Have I had a conversation with my dad about that? Do you always have to have a conversation before you can release either someone or yourself? As concerns you personally, you can have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Just say, Lord, open this up in my heart. Just expose where there are areas where there's no release. And that's hindering you in your walk. That's hindering you in your progress with God. That's hindering you from the blessings that are rich to enjoy. Lastly, oh wow. Prayer team members, would you come? Just come. I'm going to phrase this differently for a reason, because I don't want you to misconstrue or misunderstand. Release God. Release God. Why am I saying this? Because, friends, in so many areas, we've suffered many things. I'm talking about you now. Sitting down, staring at me. Suffer things, maybe considered as tragedies, a loss in the family, a loss of a loved one, a lost job, ailment, long-term, injury. And unconsciously, subconsciously, we've some way, somehow, blamed God in the recesses of our hearts. God, how, by questions, how did you allow this to happen? oh, if you moved on time or moved powerfully, this would not have been the case, and such and such and such. He hops back to the garden, whereby some way, somehow, we think God is not good, or that there's more and he's not letting us reach it, or that he's holding us back in one way, shape, or form. But God is good. He's a good, good Father. He loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, to set us free. You can release him. That's why I didn't phrase it as forgive him, because he doesn't need forgiveness in that manner of speaking. Well, you can release him and just say, Lord, in my heart I've held this, and this shows up in different areas, not getting into the word at all, not fellowshipping with him, not spending time in place of prayer, because as those things happen, life happens, and all of a sudden we're drawing back and drawing back and drawing back and not enjoying communion any longer because we're harboring things in our hearts. Let's rise. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every... Friends, we've been forgiven much. And he wants us to walk in the fullness of that forgiveness and the ways highlighted. Father, I just thank you for paying the price in full, making me free, making us free from the hold of sin, from the hold of the enemy, and bringing us into the glorious liberty of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for our hearts. Thank you, Father, for just causing grace always to redound in our hearts as we grow in the knowledge of you. Expose to us areas so that as by your Spirit, Lord, all those hurts and pains just dissipate, they just leave. And we're free because of the truth. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. If you have a need this morning, our prayer team members are here, set to minister grace to you. If you're here, you don't know Jesus. There's no better day than today. If you're here, you want to understand forgiveness more in your heart, you want to join with one of these prayer team members, you have a health condition or situation, you'd love for them to just minister life in that area, and you just see yourself walk in the fullness of what Jesus freely provided, I'd like for you to just join up this morning. Thank you so much for your time. You all have a glorious and blessed week. Praise God. Love y'all. Bye now.